Good morning. How many of y'all needed that? You know, there isn't anything greater than being in God's presence and to begin to know His presence. You know, that's where you came from. And that's where we want to return. The enemy puts all kinds of things in our way to prevent us from knowing the Lord and walking in His ways. In fact, the Bible says that the serpent was the most cunning beast God created. And I can tell you he'll outwit you in a second. Some people are serving darkness and don't know it, you know. Hallelujah. There's something we're going to talk about today, and this name kept coming to me and coming to me. You know, we've got a lot of things that are happening. Are you guys cool? Are you all right? Hallelujah. Is everybody cool? Everybody all right? Is anybody warm in here? Oh, glory. How many of y'all think that things are going crazy in the world right now? If you don't think that, you're crazy. You know, I think there's a lot of questions in people's minds as for what's next. And in this area of what is next, you know, as the Spirit gave us interpretation today in the area of preparation, we must always be preparing. God is preparing. He's preparing everyone. That's why there's a shaking in everyone's life and all kinds of things. There's a shaking in the world. There's a shaking in the economy. There's a shaking everywhere. There's a lot of things that's happening. There is a shift in government. There's a more dependence on government than ever before, and it's being caused by the government. We see more freedoms being removed. We see laws being changed behind closed doors. Constitutions slowly being crushed. Eventually, we will fall into an area where there'll be no choice. You'll be told what you're to do. And if you don't obey it, your vouchers will not be activated so that you may eat and buy and sell. These things are not way in the future. These things are going to happen within a few years, if not sooner. We are in that time right now as a generation of the return of the Lord. And a time of persecution. We see more and more evil take over. We see things that were good now called evil, and things that were evil now called good. Just turn on the TV. The promotion, the technology. All of these areas, the great deceptions that is happening. And if you follow everything that is going on right now, and you go back in history, in biblical history, and even in history itself, there's something that had occurred from the fall of man to the time of Noah, and then when the flood came and destroyed all that were here except for Noah and his family, something reestablished, an evil reestablished. And if you trace back all rule and authority and the things that are going on right now, you'll go back to Nimrod. Everything goes back to Nimrod after the flood. And I kept asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And he kept putting me Nimrod, Nimrod, the seed of Nimrod. And I want to go there today that we may understand what is going on. In Genesis chapter 9. Hallelujah. In verse 18, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 18, it says, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. This was after the flood. Three sons. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard, and then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it on both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of his father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Now, I want you to understand something, that how could you awake from your wine and know what somebody did to you if they just looked on you? Hello? You wouldn't. Somebody can walk in your room and look at you, and you wouldn't know nothing, would you? Because there's more to that. He did something perverse. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, cursed be to Canaan. A servant of servants, he shall be to his brother. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servants. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Now, there's something that I want to share with you, because he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, Ham is the one that did the act. I mean, Ham's the one that did the act. Amen? Is everybody with me? But he cursed his son, didn't he? Because Ham was already cursed. And Ham was cursed because when they came through the flood, it is believed that Ham married a hybrid. A hybrid is an offspring of the fallen angels, the fallen watchers, that had intercourse with women and produced their own race. They were associated with the seed of the serpent. Go to Genesis 6. Ham married a Nephilim spirit, or what we might call a hybrid or a Nephilim. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 1, is everybody okay? You need to get this. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, these are angels, these are called watchers, fallen angels, fallen watchers, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives. They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. They chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 125 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So these fallen watchers took wives for themselves, and they produced offsprings called Nephilims and hybrids. They were known as the mighty men. They were evil. They destroyed mankind. They wanted to destroy all human DNA by murdering, cannibalism, and sacrificing. To only the human DNA that was left was Noah and his sons and his other wives and their wives, except for the one he married, Ham. God destroyed them in the flood because of their wickedness. And Ham became one flesh with his wife, who was a hybrid, and produced hybrids afterwards. Ham began to worship the same gods as his wife, and they carried the serpent's seed, the genes of the serpent. Everything began to alter down that line. In Genesis chapter 10, now the sons of Ham were Cush, verse 6, Genesis 10. Read this with me, please. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mesram, Put, and Canaan. Now listen, I want to share something with you. Canaan, this is where the Canaanites came. We'll talk about that in a second. And the sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ramah, and Sebeka. And the sons of Ramah were Shebi and Dedan. Cush begot Rot. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be what? Come on, I want you to say this with me. Read verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Now, wait a minute. Didn't it say that the offsprings that were produced to Ham and all of those others, does everybody got this? The offsprings that the angels came down, the fallen angels, and went into woman and produced offsprings, that they were what? The mighty ones? Does everybody got it? And here comes another mighty one whose name was Nimrod. Nimrod's name means rebellious. Nimrod, the son of Cush, mighty, or a Nephilim hybrid, a genetic change, part human and part hybrid, or Nephilim. Nimrod was born, now check this out. Nimrod was born on December 25th. Of course, his name means to rebel. His symbolism of evil and satanic practices was attached to the legacy of Nimrod. He used a symbol which looked like a Roman numeral 10. It was an X. And it denotes witchcraft. They also used double X's, which means double cross or betrayal in the hands of Satan. One of the things that we might see as you're going around during this time of the year, that people put up X-mas. Xmas is actually the celebration of Nimrod. Is everybody all right? See, the enemy's greatest deception is what? His greatest weapon is what? Deception. He deceives people. He gets people to curse themselves. He doesn't go up to you and say, "Hi, I'm going to curse you today." Or be prepared, something's going to happen, or you're going to fall into a curse. He allows people to be deceived so they can bring a self-imposed curse upon themselves. Now, here's something else. If you think about it, there's a lot of American corporations that use the double X. One of them is called Exxon. It is owned by Rockefeller. It's associated with the Standard Oil of New Jersey. It's with a meaning of betrayal into Satan's, or the hands of Satan. Exxon. Let's go a little further. I got some stuff written down for you. Nimrod became the first man to rule the whole world. He indulged in the power by launching excessive horrors and torment, which has never been equaled. Ever since the time of Nimrod, Babylon has been a symbol of lust and perversion. And what we're seeing right now is the restoration of Babylon. Nimrod also introduced the practice of genocide to the world. His grandfather, Ham, having consorted with other races, brought children of mixed race into the world. And they practiced ritual murder and cannibalism. Ham was informed by he was informed that by killing and eating fair-skinned people, his descendants could regain their superior qualities. Ham's descendants, is everybody with me? They began cannibalism. Of course, we know that there was different colors. There was light skin and there was a dark skin at that time. This is not about religion or racism. This is what they were doing. Remember, their information was always coming from demonic forces. Nimrod was filled with evil and demonic spirits. And he walked into this world. His whole purpose was to duplicate Satan. In fact, he was known to be in Satan's image. Throughout the ensuing centuries, the fair-skinned descendants of Shem, Noah's oldest son, have ritually been slaughtered by the darker descendants of Ham and Nimrod. In the world's most persistent campaign of racial and religious persecution, not only did Nimrod kill and eat fair-skinned descendants of Shem, in his fury and hatred, he often burned them alive. The type of human sacrifice involving the eating of slaughtered human victims derived in the name from the which combines of his uncle Canaan and the demon god Baal. And those two names combined, we got the word called cannibal, because the Canaanites were also eaters of humans. And in this, they were worshiping Baal. So we got the word cannibal. Is everybody all right? Nobody ran out yet. Cool. Nimrod was also known in ancient history by the names. He had multiple names of Moradak and Marduk and Bel. Because of his importance in history, Babylon was known as the land of Nimrod. Nimrod was also cited in most ancient Masonic constitutions. As the founder of Freemason, Nimrod was the image of Satan. You know, there's a lot of innocent individuals that are associated with demonic organizations. Even the Shriners is a demonic organization. But they don't know it because, see, they're at the lower end of it. So they're out doing the good works and so forth, but don't realize what the true end result is and where that money is going to. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In Genesis 11, Genesis chapter 11, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, verse 1. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, which is known as Iraq. And they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, there's somebody else who proclaimed that same thing. Go to Isaiah 14. The word Babel means gateway to the gods. Again, for many years, Nimrod ruled the earth with darkness, perversion, and sexual worship, and self-proclaiming God himself as a god and a priest. And verse 12 in Isaiah 14. Would you read it with me? Verse 12, "Have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will what? Ascend into heaven." Isn't it the same thing that Nimrod wanted to do? Look at the parallel. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God." That was Lucifer. Same thing as what Nimrod was saying. Is everybody with me? Of course, I love the Lord's response. "You're going to hell, homie. You shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit." Whoa. I want to read something more to you. Nimrod, because he was dark-skinned, was the very first dark-skinned leader who ruled over the entire human race, being the first man who came up with the strategy of war. He was first man to wage war or mobilize people so that they may wage war against the ones he wanted to plunder, rob, or control. He was also the first one to come up with the concept of global unity, united the people so that they may build the Tower of Babel. Listen, I want you to look at a parallel right now. And this is not about racism. Has everybody got this? This is about history repeating itself in the parallel of what's happening right now. We have a dark-skinned president right now. Not about racism. This is just a parallel. Who is changing laws and times. Things that are changing right now, we see a parallel to. Does everybody see this? He was the first one to come up with the concept of global unity, united the people so that they may build the Tower of Babel. Now, you know what? We have the Tower of Babel built again in New York City. The two that became one. See, people don't see the full meaning of what's going on right now. The what? Oh, in fact, if anybody was watching the news in the last couple days, people are freaking out of the noise, the weird sounds that's coming out of the tower that they just built. I mean, and they were listening to it. It is freaky. It's all kinds of noise that is coming out of the tower. It's been on the news for the last couple days. They've been filming it and recording it. And when any time the wind blows or whatever, there's a strange noise that's coming out of this tower. Is everybody okay? Cool. In Genesis 11, let's go there for a moment. Genesis 11. Now again, we are bringing the parallel of things that where we are right now and what is happening. You know, you think about why do you think they're trying to take God out of everything? You know, they want to take Christmas and put Xmas. Better watch out, the Holy Linebacker will come after you. In Genesis chapter 11, I want to show you again in this in verse 4 or verse 3. It says, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Now you got to understand something. How did they know how to do this? That information did not come from the world. That information came from the angels that had fallen. You got to remember, the purpose of Satan sending angels in and produce his own race and his hybrids and his own seed was to get man away from God so he would give them technology. Again, who rules everything right now? Satan's kingdom. He rules all technology, money, everything. Eventually, he will pull everything. Why do you think you see people on the sides of the road collecting gold? Turn in your gold! They're turning in their gold because they're collecting everything. Yeah, we'll give you money for your gold. Money that don't mean nothing. That piece of paper will be nothing. Eventually, the gold won't be nothing. You know, people don't realize that President Kennedy was murdered. And he was murdered because he printed silver certificates. They had nothing to do with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is backed by gold that prints their own money. President Kennedy exposed the secret societies associated with it, which is known as the Seat of Nimrod, the Babylonian Empire, and printed $5 billion worth of silver certificates. I remember when I was a kid and my parents used to say, save the silver certificates. I didn't understand why. I had an aunt that used to collect coins and stuff, and she'd tell me, save the silver. If it says silver certificate, save. Of course, when I got older, I sold it and bought dope or something. I don't know. But I didn't know any better. But they immediately after they killed him, they pulled in all of that money, all the silver certificates. Do you know that all of your payroll tax that you pay for income tax goes to the Federal Reserve? It does not go to build a house, help, feed, clothe, shelter, roads, lights, nothing, schools. It goes right to pay the interest. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? Praise God. So they got this information from the other side of the fallen watchers. Now, again, we see such tremendous transition that we're going through right now. It's phenomenal, isn't it? And because his whole purpose in Nimrod, he wanted to unify the races of the earth, he began to build this tower just like Satan. He was fulfilling because he was in the image of Satan. And Nimrod became the first evil dictator, being a man that was possessing the gifts of sorcery, a false prophet, a magician, an astrologer. Nimrod knew how to read the stars. He was able to interpret the stars through the gifts that God had given him and also predict the future. Choosing to use all of his energies and abilities and talents against his creator, he began to build a government system called Babylon, which was spiritually given shape, designed, and established by his spiritual organized movement called the Chaldeans. His priesthood was made up of 12 priests called cardinals, where Nimrod himself was one. The Chaldeans was a move that engaged itself in spiritual rituals and evil religious activity so that it may shape the habits and characteristics of human beings on the earth into an immoral nature or culture that goes against God's will, turning the minds and mindsets of the people into a gateway that entertains, welcomes, meditates on the ways of ancient gods of Nimrod. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. Now, Nimrod also had a priesthood. I want to share this with you. It sounds pretty wild. It was made up of 12 priests, and these priests used to shave or make the top of their heads and the sides of their heads bald. In fact, that is why God commanded Israel not to cut or shave their heads in this form, as in Leviticus 19:27. Let's go there. Because it was a form of outward rebellion. Leviticus 19. Let's start at verse 26. Let's read it. You shall not eat anything with blood, with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your what? Flesh. For the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. These things bring a curse. But look at what's going on right now in the world where tattooing is, I mean, they got tattoo haven everywhere. On the new, I mean, on, you know, people promoting it on TV, they got programs of it and whatever. But thank God for his forgiveness and mercy. That's all you need to do is repent for it, break that curse off. Every tattoo has an associated spirit attached to it or multiple spirits to it. Everybody all right? Praise God. So we see here at this time, so the Lord was telling them, don't do this. Why? Because those are what the priest of Nimrod did. Amen? These priests never married because they were supposed to be totally committed to the service of Nimrod's priesthood. And whenever they wanted to fulfill their sexual desires and pleasures, virgins were given unto them. These virgins were called Nun, N-U-N. And each one of the priests could sleep with as many virgins as he wanted. This act of sexual immorality increased the abortion of unwanted babies and sacrifices to their king Nimrod and Satan. Do you realize that an abortion today is nothing but a sacrifice to darkness? In Genesis 12. And if you've ever had an abortion, you just repent and God forgives you. And that child is home with the Lord. In Genesis 12, in verse 1, there's so much to this, and I'm making a real short thing here. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Well, he was in Nimrod. He was in the land of Nimrod at that time. But he was also in the land of Canaan. Does everybody got it? But they all practiced the same rituals. As a matter of fact, Nimrod wanted to kill Abram. And at that time, Abram's father, Terah, was also, he was a builder of idols. And he sold many idols associated with Nimrod. But Abram, as a young child, had a relationship with the Lord. He didn't believe in all of this stuff because God was calling him. And after many years, because Shem carried the promised seed, and Abram came out of that promised seed. So in this, after many years, Nimrod wanted to kill Abram. Because remember, he was killing off Shem's family too, eventually. They were eating them and everything else. So Abram went and lived with Noah for a period of time. Now, some of us are thinking, man, isn't that quite long distance? Well, look at how old was Noah? 900 and something years. You know, it wasn't like they lived 20, 30, 80 years. These people were living hundreds of years, man. So let's go on to this. And so he said, get out of your country, Nimrod or Babylon. This is what he was talking about. Get out of Babylon. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be what? Blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So the Lord had visited Abram and told him to go. And so he left. And he went to the land of Canaan. And Shem again carried the promised seed, which went down to Abram. And they left there, and God rescued Abram. But let me share this with you, that the rest of their families were destroyed. In Genesis 25, so the seed of Nimrod continued. Is everybody okay? Some of you look like I'm speaking Greek. Start reading your Bible, you'll understand more. Genesis 25, in verse 24. I guess we better come back a little bit. Verse 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out, and his name, they took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the two boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. So we see Esau had received the seed of Nimrod. But Jacob was a mild man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. That was Rebekah, his wife, who brought these children in. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that some red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom, E-D-O-M. Now, there's the Edomites are associated with this, and we're going to get to that at another time. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me? In other words, his birthright didn't matter. In other words, what his inheritance was had no meaning to him. So he was willing to sell his inheritance. And Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now again, Esau inherited the seed of the serpent Nimrod by selling his birthright. The bloodlines of the serpent continue on. They carry on. In other words, Babylon was going to carry on. They carry on. Babylon comes all the way down to Satan's rule, which we see now Babylon being positioned globally throughout the world. Let me share with you. The Antichrist and false prophet are alive here now. And they are not young men. They are alive and they are here now. One of the things that begins to happen is in the bloodlines, they try to keep their bloodlines in, what I want to say is pure. Pure with the highest iniquity. I'm going to say that again. They want to keep their bloodline pure with the highest of iniquity. Let me share with you something very wild. Many presidents that you see put in office and leaders that are put in office are not elected. They're put in office. And the purpose of that is because of the interbreeding allows them to have the highest iniquity of the bloodline that comes down. And they're the ones that are put in office. Remember that you and I are breaking things off of our life and repenting. They don't. They added on and on and on and on. Esau never repented, did he? Nimrod never repented. And for some of them, it would come all the way down to the family line. Now they're associated with secret societies and everything else. But again, the purest of blood and the highest of iniquity is what they want to do. They want to add it. They don't want to remove any of it. Why? To produce the perfect person to be Antichrist or false prophet. And again, they are alive now. That's why you see evil coming out of everywhere. They're no longer hiding. They know their time is short. In Revelation 14, again, we see Babylon positioned throughout the world. The Antichrist and false prophet are alive today. Revelation 14. If you have somebody that is a non-believer, way out there, said, man, I don't atheist, whatever, bring him Tuesday. We're going to show a video of proof of God. It's called The Star of Bethlehem. And I'm telling you, it is so powerful in how God wrote it all in the constellations in the heavenlies. So if there's anyone, and if there's anyone in here that's still, I don't know about all this stuff, get your butt in here. If you're still on the borderline of what should I do, or I don't know whether I should serve the Lord or give my life or what, get your butt in here. And watch this video because it will prove the arena of God. Because it is written in the heavenlies. In Revelation 14 and verse 6, it says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, they were in deception. Then the third angel also followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Go to Revelation 17. See, again, Babylon will be full force and full blown ruling the world. In verse 1, and the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, from whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of their fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. This is Babylon, in other words, expressing and exposing herself, drawing people, deceiving people because of her wealth, her fame. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled in great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. So we see that there's going to be an expression of wealth and so much in the area where they don't care. I mean, look about all the wealth that is going now. You know, again, our economy was purposely destroyed. It was purposely brought down. The rates of home was purposely brought up because they knew exactly what would happen. Listen. If everyone can be in debt, he can control, can't he? He tries to get everybody in debt. And it brings control. It's just another manipulation. Many people lost their savings. So many people, because we've always been brought up about owning a home is a very important thing and it's a great investment. But I don't know if you know or not that in 2011, Obama signed a law stating that he can come and possess anything he wants, whether you own it or not. Doesn't matter. In fact, everything is being turned over to the UN, the United Nations. And I want to close at Revelation 18. Verse 1, and then there I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup of which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoking of her burning. Standing at a distance from fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour her judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and cattle and the bodies and souls of men. The fruit of your soul long for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich of her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment and weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in the fine linen, purple, scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate.' Rejoice over her, O heaven, you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Then the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, and saying, "Thus, with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." And we see that this Babylon is associated with Satan's kingdom, reestablished again through the seed of Nimrod, but all the way backed up by the seed of the serpent. Things are happening. It is our responsibility to stay awake. It is our responsibility to know the truth and to see these things that is all around us. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed that was imparted in us today be protected by the blood and grow and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Prepare your hearts for communion.